Item number 11, report and possible discussion on legislative update by Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Seeing as I already got the rolling finger before I started, I was just going to say, anybody have any questions, and then walk off. No. Okay, let's go to the next slide. I'll be brief because we kept y'all up to date on some of this as we worked through the session at some of the board meetings and obviously in GM updates. But it was a big session for water in terms of major water legislation. One of the major issues going into session was whether or not the ledge would fund the state water plan and more specifically fund the implementation of projects in the state water plan. And they took action on three different pieces of legislation that, when taken together, will help provide roughly $2 billion worth of funding toward the implementation of the state water plan. House Bill 4 creates basically two new dedicated funds that will provide funding for the state water plan, the State Water Implementation Fund and the State Water Implementation Revenue Fund. That bill also makes some statutory changes to the Texas Water Development Board, taking it from a 6-member volunteer board to a 3-member permanent board, more like TCEQ. And it creates a prioritization process both regionally and at the state level in order to essentially prioritize which projects in the state water plan are going to get funding. So instead of just throwing money at the plan and saying fund whatever you can, the regional water planning groups and the state, the Water Development Board, are actually going to have to pick winners and losers in terms of who's going to get money in the future. So that should be an interesting process, particularly at the regional level, because thus far they've just gotten to pick whatever they want and say yes, fund this, yes, fund that. Now they're going to have to choose which ones get money. House Bill 1025 is the supplemental appropriations bill. It funded a number of things, but it also actually appropriates the $2 billion from the Rainy Day Fund into the two new funds created by House Bill 4. And then you've got SJR1, which has to go to the voters and be approved in November. SJR1 not only creates but constitutionally dedicates the two new water funds. It creates them inside the state treasury but outside the general revenue fund, so they can only be used for the purposes of funding state water plan projects. The money portion of these three, the $2 billion, is dependent upon SJR1 being approved by the voters. The changes to the Water Development Board and the prioritization process and all that, that's going to happen one way or the other. Those are statutory changes. Those are in law now, and those are going to take place. So only the money part is contingent upon SJR1.
But if you don't get the money, then it doesn't matter what you prioritize.
That's right. I mean, but I guess the logic is you could go ahead and at least begin that prioritization process for if the legislature comes back and tries to do money again. You could go ahead and do that. In terms of how long that's going to take, I would imagine the regional water planning groups are going to start looking at that prioritization process now, because it will have to be included in the next round of regional water plans, which will be 2016. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to start doing that now. But effectively, you wouldn't necessarily see funding going to projects until after that 2016 process when they do the next water plan.
So, Matt, is there any current opposition to SJRES 1 that you're aware of?
There was opposition when SJR1 was passed out of the House, particularly some of the more conservative members didn't like the idea of essentially, they called it an accounting trick. They basically said you're creating new funds in the Constitution so as not to bust the spending cap so that you can bust the spending cap. I mean, that's kind of the way that they phrased it. So I would imagine that there is going to be at least some opposition to SJR1. There will probably be a no campaign of some sort. Who it'll come from, I mean, there's talk that Texans for Fiscal Responsibility and some of those groups are going to come out against it, but we don't know yet. They haven't done that yet.
Thank you.
Will this process have any impact on Allen's Creek?
It will. One of the things that, and as John Hoffman will tell you, one of the things that the City of Houston says that they need to move forward with Allen's Creek is state participation funding, which this money would go to. So this would be beneficial to us in terms of trying to get that project going, because that checks one of their boxes. And we would imagine that a project like Allen's Creek, again, this is wishful thinking, but would be highly prioritized because the permit's already there, the land's already owned, we're already ready to go.
We really need the water down at the other end.
And the water's necessary.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, sir.
Just another item of deals. What about the Texas Water Development Board? They all got fired, now what are we going to do?
Well, that's what I talked about in terms of the statutory changes in House Bill 4. House Bill 4 reorganizes the Water Development Board.
Appointed by the governor.
What you're going to see between now and in the November timeframe, this November, you're going to see new board members get appointed, and you're going to see new staff be hired. So it was
whole new ball.
Whole new group of folks. It was kind of unprecedented to see an executive administrator be fired in statute. It's kind of strange. It doesn't happen very often, but that's what happened.
Could that same individual be considered?
No. You cannot be considered if you were serving prior to the bill's effective date.
Okay. Is there any campaign anticipated in favor of voting for this? Is there going to get some opportunity?
There's going to be several groups that try to help come out in favor of it. Texas Association of Business will be one of them. I would imagine the Engineering Association is going to come out in favor of it. And then H2O for Texas, which is a group that kind of helped champion its path through the legislature, will likely do a campaign as well. So I think there'll be a number. TWCA will probably get involved as well. Go to the next slide. And these are divided up by subject. PK divestiture, obviously Mike talked a little bit about this on the survey item. That passed. We're going to be working toward a third-party divestiture of the remaining residential and commercial leases. That also includes Costello Island, and it also includes the remaining Set Ranch property. In terms of the third-party divestiture of the residential and commercial, while we're looking to move forward with the survey stuff, because it's a necessary step that we have to take, we can't start that process until we're actually decommissioned. So we'll have to get there before we can issue an RFB and do the third-party sale. With regard to the Costello Island property, it is also based on the date of decommissioning as to when that could start. We have had some conversations with the Costello Island folks as to whether or not they wanted to start doing their own survey work and start maybe doing some stuff sooner rather than later. They indicated that they did not. They wanted to wait till we're officially decommissioned, so okay, that's up to them. And then with regard to the Set Ranch property, obviously that's two parcels. We have a survey on one of the parcels. The new parcel that was added per Senate Bill 918 will need to be surveyed. Once that's acceptable, we can move forward with an appraisal on that property. Any questions on that? Okay, to the next one. This is one we talked about during the session, Legislative Budget Board review. The legislature passed a bill that basically says the LBB can come in and review our effectiveness and efficiency. Our position on this during session is the same as our position on all transparency measures, which is we're very transparent now. If we need to be more, we'll be more. That's fine. We don't have anything to hide. We did take exception to a couple other bills that got filed that would make us pay for this process. This one does not, so we're obviously more in favor of it. The legislation did stipulate that LCRA and BRA have to go first. Now, in terms of when that will happen, we don't know. Yeah, we're very popular. In terms of when that will actually happen, we don't know. I do know that when there was an attempt to amend the bill on the Senate floor to stipulate that it had to be done by next session, 2015, it actually put a fiscal note on the bill, and they had to pull it off. So that tells me they may not do it before next session, but again, there's no telling. They may find some funds somewhere and want to come take a look. So we'll see. I expect that the LBB will let us know when they want to come look at us. Next slide. Rate making. The PUC sunset bill, which is basically the sunset review of the Public Utility Commission, died last session. So they basically had to revive it again this session. And in part of that bill, they were always considering transferring all rate making as it relates to water, both wholesale and resale, wholesale and retail, from the TCEQ to the PUC. So this is not a new idea. It just actually passed this session. So all rate making, to the extent that we're ever involved in a rate case, will now come before the PUC instead of TCEQ, and that transition is happening now and it's ongoing. It will more affect retail entities, IOUs, MUDs, things like that, than it will us, but obviously it's just something for us to watch since now our rate making will take place there. Go to the next slide. Open meetings. So the legislature looked at taking advantage of technology this session, and they passed a series of measures that allow boards to meet either via video or teleconference at different times. Now, the teleconference one was more related to emergencies, but the video ones could apply to most every meeting. Now, there are certain stipulations that we'd have to meet if we ever wanted to do this. You have to have a place, obviously, for the public to be able to participate. That place has to be where the person chairing the meeting is. But again, this is something that you know, we may be able to take advantage of at some point, particularly if we have to have a short notice emergency meeting. And the legislature, you know, passed a few bills to allow it to happen this session. The last bill on that list, you know, we don't really know what that one's going to do, and I don't know that's anything that we would ever do. But it allows governing boards to communicate via online message boards without violating the Open Meetings Act as long as they don't take action. Nobody knows how that one's going to work out. What I assume is somebody's going to do it, they're going to get sued, and courts are going to figure out how it's going to work. So, again, I don't know that that's one we would ever do, but I guess we could if we wanted to. Go to the next slide. Purchasing and bidding. These are things, and I want to make it real clear, with all the different pieces of legislation that pass, and this list that I'm showing you is by no means all of them, after session ends, I get with the folks in legal, and we go through a list and see if there are changes that we need to make to our policies and our procedures and our operations and our training to make sure that we're in compliance. But most of the stuff that passes session, particularly as it relates to purchasing and bidding, is permissive. It's not stuff that would require us to change our practices. It's stuff that we could do if we wanted to, but we don't have to. So this is just a few of them. They changed levels with regard to when you have to bid things out. They changed levels with regard to board approval of change order approvals. So there were a few different things that they did to loosen up some of the parameters in bidding and purchasing. Again, they're not things that we have to do. They're permissive. They're things that we can do, and we'll be taking a look at those in the future as we do projects. Go to the next slide. A couple things that did not pass: water master legislation. Obviously, there was a bill filed this session to create a water master for the Brazos. The standalone bill that was filed was passed out of House Natural Resources, did not get any farther than that, didn't make it on the calendar, and wasn't passed by the House. It would have applied to the whole basin, which is something that we've said that we would want. It did cap fees for smaller water right holders. Once that did not pass, there was an attempt to revive it as an amendment to a Senate bill late in session. It was a little bit different than House Bill 2452 in that it only included part of the basin, and it capped, or it basically isolated all the funding of the program or all the fees for the water master to the three or four largest water right holders in the basin. So basically us, NRG, Dow, Gulf Coast would have been the only ones paying for it, at least for the first 3 years. It also did cap fees for smaller users. Again, neither of those were successful. I think particularly with the last one, after the standalone didn't make it, the feeling on the last-minute amendment was that there's a petition process currently ongoing at TCEQ, which Jim talked about, and I'll skip over here in a minute, and why don't we let that process work instead of, you know, rushing this through? So I think that's probably why it didn't make it. Next slide. Jim talked about this. I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. Again, this is the water master petition process that, that's currently ongoing. The next hearing for it is going to be in September. So is essentially looking at whether or not there needs to be a water master for the Brazos, and they were charged with looking at those three things. So we're obviously part of that process. We're a party, and we'll continue to participate in that hearing. Go to the next slide. This is something that happened during the session, but a policy issue that kind of affects senior calls and things that are ongoing in our basin. When TCEQ issued an order in 2012, effectively cutting off certain water right holders in the basin as part of the Dow senior call, they provided exemptions for steam electric producers and municipalities. When that happened, some members of the Texas Farm Bureau felt that that was unfair. They felt that their rights were senior to some of those people that were exempted from the call, and therefore TCEQ should enforce rights based on strict seniority only. You shouldn't provide exemptions for junior users regardless of their use, and that what TCEQ did was outside of their authority. So they sued TCEQ. And the decision that came from the court, I joke about this, it was about a page and a half, and which means a lawyer couldn't have written it. And it was the most short and succinct decision I've ever seen come out of a judge. It basically just said, TCEQ, you did this. TCEQ, you don't have the authority to do it, and you shouldn't have done it. It was really that simple. And so that's kind of where that sits right now. TCEQ is appealing that decision, but we'll see where that goes. So that's going to continue to play out. But go to the next slide. It has affected a little bit the current senior call that exists in our basin. Dow made a senior call earlier this month, or actually in June. The executive director issued an order on July 2nd. That order suspended and adjusted rights junior to February 19th, 1942, with some conditions, flow conditions, which allow users to divert if flows in the river get above a certain amount. The commission met on July 26th and voted to affirm that order with a few modifications. Interestingly enough, though, in issuing this order, the TCEQ did not go as far in terms of allowing the exemptions that they did in the first one that they got sued on. So they, it's as if they kind of noticed it a little bit and maybe backed off some. But that said, they're still appealing the original decision. So we'll see how that affects future calls, should we be subject to them. And that call is live. It's ongoing. It still exists. Next slide. And that's all the slides I have. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, Matt.